Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. A back injury forces Steve Nash to miss the upcoming season.
I don't think this is unexpected necessarily, but it's certainly not pleasing to the ear to hear it end this way for him. He's a special player. He's a special human being. He's done a lot of great things for the game. He's done a lot of great things for this country, obviously. It's just sad to see someone like this go out of the game.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Has Steve Nash played the final game of his story NBA career? It is 8:04, Brady and Walker. That voice you heard, Brian Colangelo, who, of course, had Steve Nash in Phoenix and attempted to sign him to a free agent deal here with the Toronto Raptors. And was that maybe one that ended up being a bullet dodged, Greg, knowing what we know now with not only Nash's injury concerns, but the coming out party for Kyle Lowry.
We talk so much about hypotheticals, and it's always with Toronto. A lot of times with Toronto, Andrew, it's the guy you couldn't get, and you lament not getting him, or it's the pick that got traded away. We've talked about Tyler Seguin even in the hot start, and callers will call us and we'll go, yes, it'd be nice to have Tyler Seguin. It'd be nice if the Blue Jays had been able to get more in this trade or sign this player. This might be the one where it's amazing, right? Thank your lucky stars in the summer of 12. Just thank them that Steve Nash didn't decide Toronto's where I want to finish my career, because then maybe there's no Kyle Lowry trade with the Houston Rockets. I know they did sign Landry Fields sort of with the money, but we're talking different position. Landry's got another year in his contract. He can be a more useful bench player than he's been the last year and a half. But the bottom line with Nash is, could it have gone more disastrously in L.A.? He's going out there to win. He's chasing that ring. Yes, he's close to his family and his kids. That's important. Every dad would know that going into his late 30s, how important that would be. He's coming off a nasty divorce. Some stuff's none of our business. But to play, Andrew, to play 65 games when his career spanned at 1,200 games, this is as sad and disappointing and probably crushing an ending as I can think of for a sports icon. I mean, Barry Bonds can just walk away, and Wayne Gretzky can leave, and Mario Lemieux can leave, and Mark McGuire, you name it. The guys have been able to call their own shots. Not like this. Most guys don't leave like this, like barely able to hobble out of the spotlight.
There's an element of sadness to it, but is it the worst case? I would consider, Greg, if Steve Nash were to, and hey, who knows? Maybe this could still play out. If Steve Nash were to sign a bargain basement last ditch deal with the Memphis Mudhens or whatever the hell they are, and go out with his career that way, that's more sad to me.
Well, not if you're healthy, because you're still calling your own shots, and he's not going to retire. He's owed $9 million. He's going to collect paychecks this year sitting on the sidelines. Most people look at the reaction to this. Most people, Andrew, are like, well, it's better to know this now so that he's not in and out of the lineup, that you let Jeremy Lin's your starting point guard. And right now, Jeremy Lin's better than Steve Nash.
Yeah,
okay, he just is. He's not great, but Jeremy Lin's better, and you got a better chance to win basketball games with Jeremy Lin. But the concept was Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard,
meta
world peace, Pau Gasol, give us, we're a contender at the very least.
We're
going to be there playing in late May, early maybe in June.
It was like when there's three times in my life I've kind of looked at a team like that. One of them was the Lakers, when you looked at that starting five and said, wow. Another one was Colorado coming out of the lockout when they had Paul Kariya and Tamu Solani. And the other one, remember all the noise the Philadelphia Eagles made a couple off seasons ago?
Right.
And maybe even the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, and the Lakers tried this before with Gary Payton and Karl Malone, and they lost in the final of the year. Both guys were there. I don't know if Nash is, I don't describe him as underappreciated, but there's more than enough. Michael Grange wrote a great piece on Sportsnet. I know Sambit and Russick talked to him last night.
You don't think he's underappreciated?
I don't. And I think in the States, I do think is it a credit to somebody to say, there goes maybe the best basketball player or one of, he's been the best at so many things in his career, regardless of birthplace. There goes one of the best basketball players of our generation. There's Barkley, And there's the mailman, and there's Steve Nash, who didn't win a title. And Nash is the only one not to play in an NBA final. He's maybe the best player in our lifetime not to play in an NBA final. And I guess I say that as a compliment. It would enhance his reputation by having been there. And in the NBA, you better win. It's not like hockey. It's not even like Major League Baseball where you go, hey, I can't do everything, right? It's the Giselle line. I can't pitch and hit and field. In basketball, you got a chance to do everything. You can defend. You can make shots. You can create. Not many were better at Steve Nash at it.
808, Brady and Walker. Milwaukee Brewers reliever Jim Henderson's on the line with us now. World Series Game 3 tonight. It's on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. At 8 p.m. tonight, Mike Wilner, Casey Jansen of the pregame show at 7.
Yeah, we'll do Peter Horacek coming up at 8:22, Leafs assistant coach. But yeah, great story out of Calgary, Alberta, finishing his third full season with the Milwaukee Brewers. Jim Henderson with us on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you're watching this World Series from afar. The Brewers were playoff contenders. You know the Giants really well. What's your read on both teams? And neither had great regular seasons, but here they are, Jim.
They're two great teams with two different teams. The Giants are a little more experienced, more veteran guys, but then everybody's been waiting for the Royals to kind of come around with their prospects, and now they're kind of taking advantage of these guys. I mean, they're just on this roll, and they just can't seem to get off of it, so it's going to be hard to push the Royals off the roll they're on.
Canadian Jim Henderson of the Milwaukee Brewers, our guest on Brady and Walker. You look at that NLCS matchup, and obviously it was the Giants, it was the Cardinals. You see a lot of St. Louis there in the Central, and I mean, I don't know if we're in that day where there's a team like that in the American League that is just so professional and you always expect them to be at the top of the heap like the St. Louis's and the San Frans. What is it from the outside perspective about those organizations?
They find a way to win. I kind of expected that San Francisco-St. Louis series to go seven just because they just always find a way to win.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it with the Giants this postseason as the heroes like Ishikawa. You got Crawford in the wild card game. The bottom of the order is actually hitting home runs. The guys that you don't really haven't really stepped up during the season are stepping up in the postseason. So that's kind of a magical thing when you get to the playoffs, is you kind of have some heroes that you never really expected. So and that's what the Giants got going for them right now. You never know who's going to win the game for them.
Both teams' bullpens have been very good throughout the postseason, and maybe it's what you need. But Kansas City especially, it's been the single biggest difference for this team between winning and losing. The playoffs, is that kind of the classic time where we see the great benefit of what it is that you do?
Special. That's a special bullpen at Kansas City. Usually, you know, you'll see in the postseason, you'll see like your starter coming back and going to the bullpen and making a big impact out of the bullpen. But Kansas City does not need that help. They have that lockdown bullpen, and it's going to be really, really important for San Francisco to score off the starters for Kansas City. And that's going to be the difference maker for both teams is those starters because those bullpens are so good.
We asked this question in Toronto because this year the bullpen was such a dumpster fire. And a year ago when seemingly everybody on this Blue Jays team struggled, the bullpen was terrific. Why are they so volatile? Why is it so difficult to predict year to year, right? Detroit's such a great team. They've never been able to figure out the bullpen, right? You spend 10 years in the minors, and then in 2013, you have a great season with the Brewers bullpen. What is the reason for that volatility?
It's hard to explain. You go year to year. You don't get a lot of innings as a reliever, so maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's an issue. Whereas you're a starter, you can, you know, you're going out there and you can throw 200 innings a season. You kind of get in the groove. Whereas a reliever, you get streaky. You, just like a hitter, you can have a few bad games in a row, and all of a sudden, you know, especially if you're a late inning guy, you get a few games in a row and you're going to be out of that role. And then you're in a role you're not, you know, used to, and you kind of get bounced around. So the bullpens kind of, that's maybe why you see it go year to year. Teams have good bullpens and bad bullpens because really it's a streaky kind of thing. You just need to kind of get on a roll. All depends on how the manager uses you, puts you in a good situation, gives you the chance to succeed. So that's what it is. I mean, some guys succeed in different roles, some guys don't, and then you just get in the groove.
Is there such a thing as that being contagious, right? They say hitting's contagious, and you look at Kansas City, it seems everybody they bring in does their job, whereas, you know, you have a team that struggles, and one guy can't hold a lead, and it seems that everybody falls into the same trap. Do you feel that pressure in the pen where if one guy's getting the outs, boy, you better do that job too?
Yeah, you feed off each other, definitely. I mean, yeah, just like hitting is contagious. I know from my experience in the bullpen, you guys, you're your own team out there. Everybody works together as a team, as a unit. So that's kind of that camaraderie you have with each other, and you bring it out there to the game mound. You know, you pick each other up too. And when you're in a relief corps, if you leave runner stranded, or if a starter leaves runner stranded, you come in there and you get the job done. You pick up your teammates in a way that hitters can't really do. So it's a big thing, you know. And you're a team within yourself out there. So that's what's important when it comes postseason.
Canadian Jim Henderson, relief pitcher of the Milwaukee Brewers, joins us on Brady and Walker. Tell us about the season for your club. And I was a difficult one in a lot of ways. Maybe it mirrored what we saw here in Toronto. You get out to that big lead, of course. You know, you had a trying season. You get hurt. You only ended up pitching 11 and a third innings this season. But even just sitting there watching the rest of the guys kind of have this division crumble away a little bit, what was that like?
It's tough to watch. You know, it's one of those things where things just went wrong at the wrong times, or the pitching went south, and then all of a sudden the pitching picked it up late in the season, and the hitting kind of scoring your runs. But, you know, with our team and playing in our park, you need to score runs, and when that doesn't happen, you know, we have a great staff, but you give up a few runs and all of a sudden you're losing games. We're built around hitting, so that was the part that kind of what fell apart for us at the end of the season. So it gives you a sour taste in your mouth, but we got to look at how good we were for most of the season. We were in first place for 150 something games, so we can't dwell on what happened at the end of the season and look forward to next season and what we did well.
All right, Jim, thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of the World Series. We appreciate you taking time.
Thank you.
Calgary's Jim Henderson getting up early to join us tonight. Jeremy Guthrie, Tim Hudson is the matchup. We'll see how Hudson is. He wasn't very good in his last outing. Tomorrow, Jason Vargas, Ryan Vogelsong. Sunday, the return of Big Game James in Game 5 against Madison Bumgarner. All the best to James Shields Sunday night. All games on Sportsnet.
8:15, Brady and Walker. Tomorrow night, it is the Leafs and the Bruins at the ACC. Peter Horacek, Leafs assistant coach, will join us at 8:22. Is he the man responsible for the better-than-expected penalty kill this year? We want to say to you to the ACC, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. On Tuesdays, Toronto takes on the Buffalo Sabres. We gave you a clue at 6:14, 7:14. Here's your third and final clue and chance to win. Name us that player. He was part of the blockbuster deal between Toronto and Calgary in the 91-92 season. If you know who this is...
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Brady and Walker.
Who are those guys?
On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
8:24, good morning. Brady and Walker, Leafs assistant coach Peter Horcha coming up in seconds. Congratulations to Tanner.
Oh, good for you.
He's going to see Toronto and the Buffalo Sabres coming up on Tuesday, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. He knew the player we were talking about today was none other than a defenseman, Jamie McCown.
Oh.
Tanner. I'm reminded of the George Carlin stand-up. Vinny and George will always beat up Tanner and...
I only know one
Lenny.
I don't
fight.
Even know a non-fictional Tanner. I just know the kid, the red ass on the Bad News Bears. That's the only Tanner
good
I
joke.
Know for a first name.
Tanner,
that's not even a joke.
Tanner Pearson. Tanner.
Nope. I'm
I know a Tan. Remember Tanyan Sturts?
Walter. It's not the same person. We'll do the Terrible 10 at 8:40. Bruins at the Maple Leafs. Buffalo comes in on Tuesday. But they've got Boston tomorrow night. We're pleased to be joined by assistant coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Peter Horacek. Thanks for taking the time, Peter. We greatly appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
You're probably very much looking forward to getting back on the ice. I know a bit of a harrowing and to put it mildly, a bizarre week in the life of a Toronto Maple Leaf coach or player. Lest we forget, you had a very good game Tuesday, and you're hoping to build off that Islanders win tomorrow night against Boston.
Yeah, I thought, getting right back out there when you got momentum, we had a great, especially second period. Thought our third be set back a little bit, and those are a work in progress. But getting into Ottawa, we woke up thinking that our game day is usual, and And the reality check kicked in. I mean, you don't usually see those things, but it definitely kicked in. You realize what the world we live in at this time.
Peter Horchek, Leafs assistant coach, our guest. You are heavily involved in the penalty kill this year. We know you lost one of your top three, top four guys there in Brandon Cozen, but the penalty kill has been very good early in the season. What do you attribute it to?
Well, I think like a lot of the guys are paying a lot of attention to it. You see guys like Leo Komarov coming in and Danny Winnick and Roman Polak, and everybody's buying in. People are paying attention. They're working hard. They're giving it every ounce of attention right now. We still have a lot of ways to go. We still make mistakes, and the goaltenders still have to be your best penalty killers. But, we're getting better and better all the time. So, it's a work in progress all year long because you have to adjust as teams adjust, and as they continue to throw and give you different looks, you have to be prepared for that. So, but the guys certainly are putting the effort in at this point.
Speaking of adjusting, how about you adjusting to this city, a new team, and working with and kind of under Randy Carlyle? How has Randy been to work with?
Well, it's been great. I mean, coming back, I grew up in this area, but I've been gone for quite a while. So coming back into Southern Ontario has been really great. I've got family not too far away, and I got a lot of friends in this area. So it's been good. It's exciting, and we were just trying to get this all running in the same direction, and so I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed Randy and the whole group, the whole staff, everybody down here in the behind the scenes, the equipment staff, the medical staff. They're everybody's great to work with, and I've enjoyed it a lot.
No, she didn't mention the mascot, but we'll leave Carl.
I don't know him. I haven't met him yet.
He's rather elusive.
Come down to the room very often.
He's rather elusive on game. He may need an ownership share to do that. Peter Horacek's kind enough to join us. It's Brady and Walker, Boston, and tomorrow night. We may in the media overrate game planning for certain players. I'm going to guess we don't when it's a player like Zdeno Chara. So whether you're in Nashville, whether you're in Florida, you haven't seen Boston very often without Zdeno Chara because he plays every game and he plays 27, 28 minutes a night. Now you got a Bruins team that won't have him tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that you can't let up on that situation and think, take a deep breath and say, oh, he's not in the game. I mean, he's obviously a very dominant force for them. He's a big man with a huge reach and plays in all situations in the power play in front of the net or with that big shot. And, he plays in most situations for him, but when you have a guy go out of the lineup and you start thinking, okay, this is going to be easier, that's when you falter and that's when it becomes a mistake. It's not going to be easier. They're a team that is, they work very hard. They're very structured. They're a team that has won before, and Claude Julien really knows how to keep them going in the right direction. So we have to work that much harder. And, when we go into those situations against teams, the good teams or the teams that are trying to get better, we have to look after ourselves. We have to make sure that we're playing better in those situations. We have to get better and be, structured and make sure we're doing the things we have to do for us to have success.
Peter Horchek, our guest, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Maybe Boston doesn't fit into this category because it is a pick your poison with Krejci and Bergeron up the middle, but when you're looking at matching line for line, are you as a coaching staff convicted yet of who that shutdown guy can be up the middle, or are you maybe still lacking that defensive presence at center ice?
Well, you have to look at it, and sometimes it's by committee. You don't always are built to do it one line and say that's your shutdown line, and you're not built all the time for that. So a lot of teams are going in the direction they're having balance and throughout their lineup. And so you do it by committee. You might have a group of 4D and you might have two lines that may play against them. And it's not totally decided who's playing against who. But you don't always have that shutdown like the old school way of thought. You'd have two scoring lines, a shutdown line, an energy line. That doesn't always happen anymore. And so a lot of people are going in a different direction. And you use committee. You expect everyone to play a 200-foot game. You expect people who are more diligent in their own zone might play more times against the lines that have more offensive ability. But it's usually now by committee and expect players to play in both ends of the rink.
Hey, Peter, it's a pleasure having you on this morning. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck tomorrow against the Bees. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There's Peter Horacek, 8:31, Brady and Walker. Don't forget, Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night. it's a big night for baseball. We know that. Game 4, World Series. Game 3 tonight, and that's on Sportsnet at 8. But let's run them down. Boston, Toronto on CBC. Rangers, Montreal. City TV. Devils, Ottawa. The emotional return of the Sens to the ice in Canada. That's on Sportsnet 1. Detroit, Philly's a good one on Sportsnet 360. FX has Blues, Blackhawks at 8. And the late game in Calgary, Alex Ovechkin continues his Western tour as the Joel Colbert and the high-flying Flames.
Stop it.
What? All those assists against the Washington Capitals, 10 o'clock on CBC.
I almost feel bad. So we make this bet, and if you haven't heard about it yet, we bet $100 early in the season because you are a big Colburn fan. I am not overly a big Colburn fan. So we bet $100 on that.
Well, you're still Leafs management shill is what you are.
Every move they make, you're backing. That's not accurate.
And even last year.
No, not accurate.
It's not, all right.
You said he'd get 20. I said, no way you get 20. And it's weird because he's playing really well. He's first in the league in assists.
Couldn't find him in form last year.
But he's last in goals. Last. Last in the NHL. Tied for last.
Yeah.
Zero.
Eight assists in 9 games so far. He's Calgary's leading scorer. Yeah, Stop passing to Mason Raymond then.
Yeah.
Because Raymond can't miss. That shooting percentage is unsustainable. I know you love unsustainable shooting percentage stats.
Quiet. So you should be embarrassed by that. You should also be embarrassed.
Let me tell you why. Okay. Don't tell people why. Tell people at 8:42. Right. It was a very bad day at the Brady household yesterday.
You're like a respected, paying your taxes, maybe, I don't know, father of three.
Two.
Plus the cat.
Yes, two cats.
And I was very surprised with this news yesterday.
I let everybody down yesterday, except you, because you have a great story at 8:42 right before we do the Terrible 10. We need three callers for the Terrible 10. 416-870-0590, *590, 416-870-0590 for $150, Bills tickets from Bodog, and that's all right before Off the Ice with Strombo and Merrick, who you'll see tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada.
That's coming up. Remember, if you get in line and call now, I went 9-1 last week, so
you're red hot.
I'm the guy to pick.
But Favreau's 17-3 in his last 2 weeks.
What have you done for me lately? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Janet Jackson song. I know you like that.
8:33, Brady and Walker. Terrible 10 coming up.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, 42. Good morning, Brady and Walker. Terrible 10 are lousy and sometimes not so lousy football picks coming up in just a couple of minutes. This, we have to mention this. The song, as you know, is Beck's Loser. Now, I'm not calling you a loser, Greg.
Oh, it was loser-ish behavior, mentality.
It was
neglect.
It was very deadbeat of you.
Lack of foresight. Yesterday, now let me set this up. Wednesday night, my wife says to me, I'm drifting off. The lights are flickering. The Royals are winning. Royals. And stuff's happening on television. I'm drifting off, okay? And my wife says, we got a really big Viridian bill. Like, that's the... And Viridian, of course, provides power to many of our listeners. They're a power company. And I go, huh, that's nice. And, I go, and then next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. And I'm late. But I don't give it a second thought. Now, I didn't open the bill. And she didn't open the bill. Our son opened the bill. We haven't paid Viridian since, like, late June. I don't know this. It's not on purpose.
How do you not pay your power bill?
I don't know. Because you're paying property taxes online. You're paying electric bill. Rogers bill comes out automatically out of my pay.
Burying the lead here, but your power was disconnected.
The power, around 1:20, I'm hearing a noise, and I feel like, I'm like, is someone around the side of my house? I'm trying to nap. And I'm hearing this, and then I see a guy with an orange and yellow vest come out, and I'm like, was there a disturbance of something? He just turned my power off. He put that little lock box on the side of the house. My power goes off. I call them right away. I give them a credit card payment. They're like, you haven't paid this since late June. And it's me. It's not my wife. I'm not going to. Mrs. Brady's responsible for lots of things. Now I pay that bill.
Oh, I get you. I hear
you. So, but it's unbelievable. So then we're waiting. We're waiting. And I'm going, they'll be like, yeah, they'll be out there this afternoon. Turn it right back on. Thanks for your payment. It's 5:45. It's getting dark, so we're assembling candles and butane lighters to light the candles. And how many flashlights and batteries do we have? And I'm going, should we stay in a hotel? Like, and But the one thing I thought is, I get to live the life of Andrew Walker. I get to. I'm gonna have to go out to a bar and watch Broncos, Chargers, and Red Wings, Penguins, and yeah. And sit there.
What a freak.
Anyway, it came back on around.
Excuse me, waitress. What's your finest? What's your worst lager?
It came back on around 6:15.
I'll have seven of those.
Cautionary tale, because I don't answer the phone and I check the mail about every 11 days.
Oh, yeah. Cautionary tale.
Be careful out there, listeners.
Pay your power bill once every 6 months.
Hey, listeners, Greg has a great story to help you avoid getting your power cut off.
Ryan Faber, our producer, is in. Let me ask you, what kind of a loser deadbeat father of three gets his power shut off?
And look at Fabro. Imagine if you have to heat up formula for your. I know he's not just having formula now.
No,
he's like 15 months old or
so. I'm not that surprised. I know Brady.
Like, I have nothing in my life. I'm barely a contributing member to society. I'm not getting my power turned off. You should be embarrassed.
It was pretty embarrassing. All right, I need 30 seconds. We'll go quick on the picks. Can I just mention something really funny on Twitter? Really funny. The Queen has started tweeting, Queen Elizabeth. She's 88. She sent a tweet yesterday. It's at British Monarchy. And you might think, who do you follow? And sometimes we do follow or unfollow. She follows all these horse places and like... But she's also, I don't know how to... The only person I know she's following that I'd consider a celebrity... Joan Rivers. Now, I don't know how to break this to the Queen.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to tell her. But how do I... There's not going to be fresh content. No. I don't know how to tell her. At British Monarchy is following at Joan Rivers. I got some good news and bad news.
You know what?
Let's start with the bad news.
Send Queenie a DM. Send Liz a DM. She needs to hear this.
Queen's only following 216 people, and one of them's the late Joan Rivers. Okay. That's all I wanted to say. Let's do the Terrible 10. Why not? Sure. Yeah, we could. Let's start in London, England. Amazing the synchronicity of that. Detroit and Atlanta take each other on in London, England. We're all excited because it's an early football game. 9:30 Eastern time.
Oh, so great.
Well, it is good. I know. It's like living out west for a change. All right. Walker, Lions are probably favorites. Neutral site. They both play in a dome. So there's no outdoor advantage here, even though Wembley Stadium doesn't have a roof. What do you like?
Yeah, I do like the Lions in this game.
Yeah, Atlanta's D sucks. How is that going to get better on the other side of the Atlantic? Detroit.
Yeah, plus Atlanta, they went to Spain first, didn't they? Didn't I hear that story right? They flew to Barcelona and thought the game was there, or that was just a map or something. I got to do more research on that. I'll take the Lions. Minnesota and Tampa. Minnesota's defense held the Bills to 10 points for the first 59 minutes. Tampa's getting blown out in games again. This game's in Tampa. Walker. Yeah,
this is really tricky. I am going to take the Minnesota Vikings on the road. I think they have just enough grinded out kind of mentality that they can keep this close.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Tampa might be the worst team in the NFL. I mean, I know the Raiders are title holders there, but Tampa is embarrassing. I'll take Vikings in a tight one.
I got to take the home team. We'll see where it goes, but it's a sloppy game. There will be turnovers. There will be a lot of three and outs.
Who's watching this game?
Bad games this weekend. A lot of bad tweets. There's a few bad games this weekend. Seattle's in Carolina. We talked about the Seahawks, how desperate they'll be. But hey, hold on a sec. Carolina is going to want to win that game also. Walker.
I will take Seattle. I know they lost in St. Louis last week, but they kind of just ran out of time. And then St. Louis had those two unbelievable special teams plays. Russell Wilson, this isn't about, oh boy, he struggled. He was really good last week as well. They'll win this game.
Yeah, I think we owe it to them to pick them and assume they win in Carolina. Yeah.
All right, I'll take Seattle also. We didn't get to talk this week enough about how Percy Harvin doesn't think Russell Wilson's black enough. Let's do it for a podcast. We're all experts.
I think
he is. How black is too black? We're not able to talk about that kind of thing.
By the way, Blackish on City TV every Thursday at 7:30.
Get the time right. Bills and Jets are in the Meadowlands. Here are the 4-3 Bills. They are a playoff contender, but there's 9 games left. Bills and Jets is tricky. Andrew.
It is tricky. Now, I'm going to take the Bills simply because there was some overreaction to, oh my goodness, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller are out. Well, guess what? C.J. Spiller wasn't even being used on snaps. And Anthony Dixon... He's the same guy as Fred Jackson. He's saying it right now. The Buffalo Bills running game will not suffer. They will win.
I will kill you.
Fabro?
Yeah, I'm going Bills, too. They've lost their last four trips to the Meadowlands. But the Jets find a way to lose this year, and the Bills somehow find a way to win. I think they do it again somehow, some way.
I can't yet get excited about the Buffalo Bills. I will let you know. You'll hear it loud and clear when it happens.
AFC Championship game. I don't know if I'm excited.
I'm not sure if they're good. Yeah, okay. When that happens, you tell me. Meaningful baseball guy. Jets, Houston and Tennessee, Texans, Titans. Tennessee's on this run of bad games. They could have beat Washington. Who do you like?
Despite Greg Brady's take that J.J. Watt has no impact on a team winning or losing, I will somehow still take the Texans and the best defensive player on the planet.
Yeah, Titans are starting some guy named Zach Mettenberger. So I'll take the Texans.
Mettenberger.
Sounds yummy. Yeah, I'll take the Texans also. Patriots are hosting the Bears. A lot of consternation about the Bears. Are they all getting along? Is Jay Cutler still good? But they're in Foxborough.
I wrote down Patriots. I am taking Bears. I will change it on my sheet. I promise. I'm taking Bears upset win this week.
But that's what I'm doing. I also think...
God!
It was a couple weeks ago. The Patriots were a bad football team. So now everybody thinks they're great again. Bears are up against the wall. I think they surprised.
It is desperation time for Chicago.
Well, New England needs the win to maintain clinching the AFC East after 12 weeks, which they usually do. I like New England. Ravens-Bengals. It might be the best AFC game. It's an early game. Might be the best 1 o'clock game. Baltimore on the road. The Bengals started 3-0. Since then, they've gone 0-2-1. That weird tie against Carolina.
I rip your takes all the time, Greg, but I got to hand it to you. You said that Baltimore would be a force to be reckoned with in this division. I didn't listen to you, and I am taking the Ravens over the Bengals this week. So there you
Cincinnati
go. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm taking Cincinnati. AJ Green's back. It's a good thing, even if he's not that healthy. They are way better at home. Bengals find a way.
I believe he has a peg leg.
Perfect.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
AJ Green will help, but the Bengals are having trouble stopping the run. And Baltimore is actually, without Ray Rice, running the ball half decently. I might regret this. Cincinnati might pull it off, but I'm going to stick with the team I thought that would win the division at the start of the year, Baltimore. Eagles in Arizona. Is it an underratedly really good game? They're probably both playoff teams. They're playoff contenders, Andrew.
Arizona's still an underrated team. The Eagles are an overrated team. Take the Cardinals.
I just think the Eagles, coming off a bye week, Chip Kelly should have a great game plan and figures a way to score a lot of points against that defense. I got the Eagles.
I'll take the Eagles also. Colts and Steelers. Pittsburgh roared to a big win over Houston with that offensive explosion second quarter, but it's Indy and they're on the road in Pittsburgh.
Short rest, I like the Colts.
Colts.
Yeah, Colts, short rest nonetheless. Colts will win their sixth straight. And this is great intrigue. Packers-Saints, Sunday night game. We know they've been very good. Randall mentioned it yesterday, how good they've been at the Superdome, but Green Bay's playing fantastic right now. Maybe they may have had the best month of October of any team.
This pains me to say it. I am a Packer guy, but the Saints historically at home, especially in prime time, you only need them to win by one. It's irresponsible not to take them.
No, it's not. Packers are rolling like the best team maybe in the game right now. Saints defense terrible. Packers.
I think they're the best team in the NFC. We're giving all this to Dallas. They're a game ahead of Green Bay, and they could host the NFC Championship game the way things are in the NFC West. Let's go to Mark in Mississauga. Mark, Andrew, Ryan, Greg, whose picks do you hate the least?
I like Brady's picks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you like that Packers Sunday nighter. Well,
that makes one of us.
Stick with us, Mark, from Mississauga. Jeff in Hamilton. Who do you like, Jeff?
I'll go with Ryan.
Smart. Oh,
I was 9-1 last week.
The defending champ.
What's happening?
Smart man. Somebody wants
burned in the mouth.
Somebody's making a smart pick. They want to win Bills tickets. They want to win cash, courtesy Bodog, and they picked me, and I'm going to bounce back.
The winner next week gets to watch all the games with Walker at a bar for 11 hours. They're not invited to Favre's house.
You get a
and
choice.
I don't have any power at my house.
You get a choice. You can have you can watch the games at a bar with me, have about 7 Bud Lights, or you can watch at Brady's house and have one pina colada.
There's your old bit for the end of a busy, busy week. Gord Stellick will join Jeff Blair at 9 o'clock. Don't forget Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow. Has Bruins Leafs.
It's never not funny.
The Charles Bruins and Rangers Montreal is on City. Lots of other great games as well. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk about 3 World Series games Monday morning when we see you again. Jeff Blair's next.
See you Monday.